Podcasting, the boisterous part of the fastest game in the world. So strap on your lids and lace them up, Rook. You're listening to the Barn Chirpers Hockey Podcast. Take a lap!
Clap it up, boys! Clap it up!
Woo! Oh, baby, we made it. It's the Stanley Cup Finals and all South Stanley Cup Finals. Who would have thought? Nobody picked these teams to be here. Nobody did. I didn't actually look at any of the brackets that were picked around the world, but I doubt anybody. Definitely nobody picked the Florida Panthers, okay? Nobody picked them.
Yeah.
Some people might have picked the Vegas Golden Knights, but nobody picked the Florida Panthers. So here we are, Stanley Cup Finals, about to be game one on Saturday.
Let's brother, get into this. Before we jump in,
yeah.
To your point, who would have picked this? I was looking at the Vegas odds for futures at the beginning of the season, plus 1600 for Florida, plus 1800 for Vegas. And here we are.
Yeah. I think even I'm just winging this one, but I feel like even the Kraken had better odds than that.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? Like
I feel like the Kraken were steady at plus 1500, I believe.
And
I mean, I'm just throwing that out there, but it was somewhere around there. So
you look at the betting lines, it's Vegas minus 125, Florida plus 105.
Yeah.
Dude, if you would have told me that this was going to be the cup, even just a couple weeks ago, not only would I have laughed at you, but I would have said that there's no way I'm going to be excited. I'm not going to want to watch any of this. I don't care. Get me out. As a matter of fact, if you go back on this very channel, on one of the Gear Freaks episodes, like at the beginning of the playoffs, Corey and I said this would be disaster for the NHL.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you would think so. I mean, it's crazy that we say that because, you know, obviously we chirp Bettman a lot because I mean he is a piece of crap. definitely the worst commissioner ever in any amount of sports, any sports organization. But so you know we chirp it all the time of, you know, oh, growing the game, oh, that's going to be good for the game. So yeah, these are obviously South teams. So he has, you know, essentially signed off, made the South try to be hockey, right? Try to bring hockey to the South. And I'm not giving him credit for that at all. But yeah, when you look at this, like, oh, well, nobody's going to actually want to see that, right? So this whole thing of like growing the game in the South and growing the game in general, like, oh, nobody's going to actually ever want to see that. But then here we are.
Here we are.
Two South teams. And yeah, I mean, we're talking for each other. Go for it. You go.
I was just gonna say, I don't remember the last time I was this excited about a cup. Now, granted, I've kind of been in and out of hockey. Like, I've been paying attention, but like, I haven't been this invested in hockey in a good long time. But like, I can't. And this is with my Devs getting stomped two rounds ago. Right. I haven't been this psyched for a cup in a long, long time.
Well, for me, it's just been since 2018 when the Caps made their run.
Yeah.
So it's not as long. But yeah, I mean, again, neither of these teams are my teams. We've talked about it on this show before. And so I really don't care. However, again, we've talked about it multiple times. Well, I saw the Golden Knights this year, too, when I went to Pittsburgh. They played the Pittsburgh Penguins. So I've seen both of these teams play. I've seen the Panthers play, as I mentioned before, in – two terrible games.
Yeah.
Terrible games. You know, the whatever it was, 7-3 in Nashville when we went. And then, like I said in last episode, this Panthers team was taken to overtime by the Blackhawks.
And that was late in the season.
That was in April.
Yeah.
Or excuse me, the end of March. It was the last weekend of March. So, yeah, totally crazy to see these two teams. And to your point, I'm geeked for this because it's kind of like, while I don't have any ties to them, but I mean, I've said it here before, like I'm pulling for the Panthers. I really am, because again, I've seen them twice now this year. I've essentially seen them be terrible and they've come up, they're the undercats, man. They've battled, and like, I love that story. I love an underdog story.
Yeah, and I mean, it's
the cat story. Same thing.
I look, man, I like under cat because everybody says underdog.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Panthers are cats.
Before I forget this, and to the back to our point, how we started off with about, you know, looking at this cup, like, oh my gosh, it's an all South final. Nobody's going to love that. Actually, I beg to differ with this because the Vegas community and Golden Knights fan base is monstrous. They're here for that team. Like, I feel like especially in the playoffs, but every time I've seen a Knights game on the tube during the regular season, T-Mobile is sold out and it's loud as hell.
Yeah.
And while I can't necessarily say the same for the Panthers when I've watched their games on, you know, on TV, but when I went there, it was sold out.
Yeah.
Against the Blackhawks. Yeah. Again. Yeah. When they were not that good at the end of March, but it was sold out. And we'll get to this in the offseason when I talk about my barn journey and rate all those and stuff like that. But yeah, I feel like South Florida, this is great for South Florida. Like, of course, we know that Tampa Bay has had their dynasty and Tampa Bay created an amazing following in that part of Florida. But now South Florida, these guys are running roughshod, if we're going to use an old wrestling term. Like, he's running roughshod all over here. They really are. They're just like, again, for the millionth time we've said this on the show, they play like they don't give a fuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
They literally have nothing to lose. So why not play your ass off? There's no pressure.
And I think the best thing about this, Joe, before you move into who's hot and how we got here, no matter how this shakes out, somebody's winning raising the cup for the first time.
And I love that too. And I think we mentioned that in one of the episodes where finally, whatever it was, I forget, but I had brought up that since Boston got eliminated, that we were going to get, you know, Colorado got eliminated, Boston got eliminated, that we were going to have a new champion for the first time since 2006.
Yep.
So
this will be, you know, this is only Florida's second time in the cup, 0-1, and Vegas is 0-1 as well a couple years back. So
yeah, somebody's getting their first win, and that, as a hockey fan, is just, again, so again, well, Bettman aside, because fuck that guy, but yeah. As a fan though, like, damn, these are two. I mean, Florida is not necessarily a new franchise, but in the grand scheme of the league, I mean, they came in 1993. I mean, that's still, I mean, 30 years, 30 but years. Yeah. That's still pretty fresh in the whole grand scheme of the league. And of course, Vegas, 2018. So they're very fresh, but
very new.
Yeah, they're very, very new. But I'm curious, Justin, who's so hot right now?
Who's so hot? Oh, let
who's
the fire.
Who's so hot? Ooh, yeah.
Fire hot. Ooh. Fire hot.
There's some music. Imagine hot music. There's music and it's super hot.
And sizzling. For Vegas, Joe.
Vegas, we talked about this last episode. I mean, Jack Eichel, like we talked about, he's showing up. 6 goals, 12 assists, 18 points. Jonathan Marchessault, Marchessault, 9 goals, 8 assists, 17 points. Excuse me, that cracked me up a little bit. And what's cool about this last series in Dallas, Jack Eichel didn't really need to do a whole lot because other guys were stepping up in this series against Dallas. Kolasar, Marchessault, Carlson, Wild Bill was showing up. Chandler Stephenson, Mark Stone, all these guys were showing up. So Jack Eichel didn't really have to, which was, I mean, that's awesome for Vegas. Like, hell yeah, you get all your depth guys showing up too, and you don't need Jack to show up. And again, we mentioned this too, just as a hockey fan, at least from my take, while I have no allegiance to Jack Eichel, but it's cool to see as a hockey fan that, again, he's getting this opportunity for the first time in the playoffs. And he talked so much shit, essentially, about just give me a chance. Just give me a chance. That's why I want to get out of Buffalo. Make the trade. You know, that type of thing. He's showing up, and he's talking the talk, too. So as a hockey fan, it's like, yeah, man. Okay, I'm here for it. Depth scoring is showing up. And we'll get to this a little bit later when we get to predictions and whatnot. But our boy, Aiden Hill, so hot right now for the Vegas Golden Knights. He gets into the rotation, if you will, after Laurent Brossoit gets hurt against the Oilers. Adin Hill pops in, and ever since, he has literally been lights out. 2.07 goals against average, 937 save percentage, two shutouts versus Dallas, Justin, against Dallas.
Dallas.
Who we thought was – we thought this – Dallas is just such a – wow. That's all I could say is wow. But two shutouts against Dallas is pretty hot.
You brought up the wrestling terms earlier. Dallas was coming in a house on fire. Like, they were hot. They were scoring goals. They were having production like issues up top, but like guys were scoring goals, and they come in and I thought this was going to be like more of a shootout, and they just Adin Hill shut them down.
I mean, Roope Hintz and Jason Robertson are still at the top of the leaderboard.
Yeah.
For points. Roope leads the playoffs in goals, but both he and Jason Robertson are still in the top five of points scored in this playoffs. So, you know, but they just couldn't get it done. Yeah. I mean, and that's a whole other conversation to have after the fact. Maybe the time has passed for it, but Ottinger was not Ottinger in that series. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Golden Knights took advantage of it. And again, Adin Hill, when you're hot, baby. And he's so hot right now. But I did put that stat up because this is interesting. And we'll get to it when we get to our boy Bob later on. But so in the entire playoffs, Adin Hill has played 607, 33 minutes played in goal. That's going back to, like I said, when he came in the Oilers series. That was game – shoot, I should have wrote it down. But I believe it was game two or three when he came in that series. So he's played in the net for Vegas ever since. I will put a pin in it because we'll get to it when we get to predictions about the whole entire Vegas team. But I'll say it now and we'll come back to it when we do predictions. He is literally the reason why we've talked about Vegas seemingly hasn't really been tested.
Yeah.
And that's why we both, when we did our predictions for this conference finals, that we were both curious about, will Vegas be tested?
Yeah.
Will we see something different when they're actually tested, because they've just kind of walked through it? And I mean, they really walked through Dallas as well. Yeah. They lost two games, but I mean, again, it was the same as the Oilers series, the same as the Oilers series in the sense like, you got two, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, that's fun.
Dallas was against the wall, down 3-0. So, you know, they were playing like, I don't know if you, I watched a good portion of game four, and
I did too. Yep.
They were playing like Florida, like we got nothing to lose. Let's go out there and get it. And, you know, they were able to do that in 4 and 5. They just weren't able to in 6. So.
Well, and I think, to that point in 6, I feel like Vegas was playing like they played an elimination game. Mm-hmm. Vegas played an elimination game in game 6. Dallas was like they were about to have 5 more games to play or something. Yeah. They did not show up to me. I mean, that's a whole other conversation. But again, we'll get to this, I guess, in the predictions. But I'll just kind of leave this as like a teaser. Maybe it's not even that Vegas hasn't been tested yet. Maybe it's just that Vegas – is this damn good?
Yeah.
And they are just walking through everybody because they are this damn good. It's not that they haven't been tested. They have been tested, but they're just so good that they're making it seem easy. Let's bring wrestling into it again. They're Randy Orton, baby. They're just so silky smooth.
Yeah, man.
Even though they're working hard, even though every little thing that they do, but it just looks so easy when they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's the thing, but that's just my hot take, if you will.
Hot take.
But I'm curious. We do have another team in this Stanley Cup final. The Florida Panthers, as we said, the Undercats, baby.
Yeah.
Matthew Tkachuk. I finally gave him his flowers last week because I realized what Matthew Tkachuk is, and I am truly. I'm a little bit fanboy, honestly, of Matty Tkachuk. Just going back, kind of in my head, going back through of all the things that he's done, looking at these stats, like this guy has carried this team, really. I mean, of course, we have other guys showing up, But again, the stats are Matty Tkachuk, 9 goals, 12 assists, 21 points. Cardi Verhaeghe, Swaggy Verhaeghe, 6 goals, 9 assists, 15 points. And other guys too, Sam Reinhart, Brandon Montour, Barkov, Duclair, guys showing up and putting points, and Nick Cousins scoring game winners. Guys just showing up. And but I really do believe that, like, this is kind of like Matty Tkachuk's team, really. Obviously, Barkov is the captain, but I really feel like this Florida Panthers team kind of goes how Tkachuk goes, or as you coined it last week, clutch.
Clutch. Easier to say.
It's easier to sell than it is to say. But I mean, think about it. When he's started to get hot, the Panthers got hot. And they, again, the whole story of getting into the playoffs. And now he's been hot in the playoffs, showing up in the most opportune times. Again, let's talk wrestling again. He's Mr. Opportunities. He's Edge rated our superstar. He's taking advantage of every single opportunity he's given. And that is really bringing this team to where they're at. I mean, he eliminated the Canes all by himself. I mean, we won't say that, but he might as well have eliminated the Canes by himself, because he really did. I mean, in three of the games, it was on, the puck was on his stick. So, I mean, I'm here for it. Like, I'm totally fanboying over it now. I know earlier in this podcast, which is, you know, what, 6 episodes ago, I was essentially get off my lawn type, and I wanted to fight him. I want to make Matty Tkachuk some dinner, a nice steak dinner, and like, sir, pass on some of your greatness. How can I get some of this greatness from you? So it's I think it's Matty Tkachuk's team, and he's leading them in the way. But he can't stop the pucks, Justin.
No, he can't.
But a guy that can, and a guy that has where the fuck did Bob come from?
I don't know. He just remembered. Like,
we keep saying this over and over again every single week. I'm sure people are tired of hearing it, but I am not tired of saying that Sergei MF and Bobrovsky is worth every single penny of that $10 million contract that he has, because this man has literally, I know I've made a reference to Matty Tkachuk, but without Sergei Bobrovsky, I truly believe the Panthers would not be in this position.
Absolutely not.
And our boy, 2.21 goals against average, 0.935 save percentage. He got that 1-0 shutout versus Carolina. Here's the biggest stat that I wanted to bring up and why I put in minutes. In the entire playoffs, Sergei Bobrovsky has played 894 24 minutes played.
Woo.
Think about that.
Woo.
He has played nearly 5 full games more than Aiden Hill has.
Yikes.
By 286 hours, 91 minutes, basically, right? So, bro, he is standing on his head. I mean, that mostly comes from that 4-overtime game that they had with Carolina. But still, to be able to still be at the top of his game after – that was the first game of the conference finals.
Mm-hmm.
So to do that, and then, yeah, okay, they had a day off and then a travel day. But that – he's losing 10 to 15 pounds from what he says in a normal game. In a 4-overtime game, I didn't look at it, but he probably lost 30 pounds.
Yeah, man.
You know, with just all that gear and sweat and whatnot. And also, to that point, and same thing with Aiden Hill, while they haven't had to – they've only had to go to 2 overtimes, the Vegas Golden Knights. So while both those goaltenders have – you know, they're playing the whole game. They don't get to sit, right? They get to chill, but they're playing the whole game. So Bob, in those, you know, almost 900 hours, right? Essentially almost 900 hours. This guy is standing up. Yikes. I'm sorry, not hours, minutes. I'm sorry, I said hours, minutes. 894 minutes, 24 seconds. That's what I meant by that. I totally misread my own writing. It's not hours, it's minutes. That's still 5 full games more than Aiden Hill. Sorry about that. That's a misspeak. But they're still standing the whole time in that net. So for him to still be on top of his game while doing all of that is so impressive. So our boy, Justin, Sergei Bobrovsky. Not even gonna say Captain Bob or Officer Bob anymore. He's honestly earned my respect back.
Yeah,
you know, we gave him a lot of shit over definitely this year, but over the last couple of years. But no matter what happens, like he's got my respect back. Even if he goes back to shitty next year, you have my respect for real. Like he's doing something insane.
For somebody who was giving up seemingly routinely 5 goals a game, like that became the meme for us.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
I'm going to give up 5, you know, and then hopefully the team can score 6.
Yeah. If they do, they'll win, but they got to score 6, maybe 7, because one will probably go in the last minute of the game. But yeah, he's doing something amazing right now. So we're here for it. We'll touch on it again when we get to predictions, but again, he's definitely one A reason why the Florida Panthers are where they're at. So props to that. And I wanted to mention, so, you know, West Coast versus East Coast, they don't usually play each other that often.
Right.
They did play each other 2 times this season. The first meeting was in Vegas on January 12th, 2023. Vegas won that game 4-2 over Florida. And they played in Florida later on in March, I believe. I got my stats in front of me here in the slideshow is in my way. March 7th. So and then Florida won that one. So their series split 1-1. But I do have a couple interesting stats for this game, both these games, Justin. Do you know who was playing in net on those games?
Was it Logan Brosson?
Nope, it wasn't him.
Was it Spencer Knight?
Close, but nope, it wasn't Spencer Knight either. Right,
I give up.
No. Oh, well, in both of these games, as a matter of fact, for the Florida Panthers, in net, Sergei Bobrovsky.
Wow.
In net, odds? For the Vegas Golden Knights, Aiden Hill.
Even less likely odds.
In both these games, these guys played. Sergei Bobrovsky and Aiden Hill faced each other in those 2 games that were played this year. And the other interesting stats, I mean, I'm just going to run through it real quick. The usual suspects, though, guys that we've already talked about that are scoring now in the playoffs, well, they were scoring in these games, too. In that first game in January, Florida's goals were by Nick Cousins, assisted by Ekblad and Luostarinen. Reinhardt scored, assisted by none other than Matty Kuklutch and Barkov. And then Vegas's goals were by Roy and Kolesar. Jack Eichel got assisted from Korzak. I don't even know if he's on the playoff team anymore. But and then Carrier and Kolesar, and then an empty netter by William Karlsson. So the usual suspects in that first game scoring, and they're still scoring now in the playoffs. Shots on goal that first game, 39 for Florida, Vegas 33. So it wasn't just 17-19 shot campaign. No, they were peppering the net. So both these goalies were stopping a lot of pucks. And for a 4-2 win, that's still, I mean, at that point it was Bob. It was 4 goals. Well, 3 because there was an empty net. So like that was actually not a bad outing for him. 3 goals. No. Like that's not bad. In that second game, I'll run it through real quick. Again, Bob versus Aiden Hill. Goals for Florida were by Lomberg, assisted by Mahura, and then Barkov, assisted by Duclair and Cousins. Again, usual suspects. Vegas's lone goal by Shea Theodore. Shea Theodore. Yeah. And then assisted by Jack Eichel and Riley Smith. So, again, usual suspects. Again, high shooting campaign there. Florida, 34. Vegas, 23. So, Bob had a little less shots, and he only let one in. So he was starting to turn things around there, seemingly, obviously, when I saw them at the end of the month when they played the Blackhawks. Not so much. But they split the season series 1-1 and a lot of shots, and your usual suspects were scoring then. So we imagine, right, that the same usual suspects are going to keep scoring when we see this starting in game one. So that was the most interesting thing to me, though, when I looked into that, when I was looking for these stats, like, okay, I'm sure they played at least once because everybody plays everybody at least once with mm-hmm. the West Coast, East Coast trips. And then I saw that and I was like, okay, who is in net? And the first one I saw was Bob. I was like, oh shit, Bob was in net. Let me look at Vegas. Oh shit, Aiden Hill was in net. That's kind of crazy to me because at that point, I believe it was Spencer Knight's net
mm-hmm.
in January, that first one.
Still, yeah.
I think, I'm not sure when he went to the wellness policy. But anyway, I'm pretty sure it was Spencer Knight's net around then. And Logan Thompson was primarily the go-to guy for Vegas. And then to that point until close to the end when he got hurt and then Brisson took over. So yeah, that was interesting to me. So
pretty interesting. Yeah. And then here we are.
Here we are again. Here we are. The guys that were not supposed to be having the nets.
Yeah.
The guys that were like number two, they were the backups at that
point. A guy who lost his net twice.
Again, twice. And yes, we're going to bring that up again for like the third time, but that is pretty amazing.
It's pertinent for him to lose the net twice and then to have this kind of output in the playoffs. That's huge.
It is huge. Because even before you get to your next thing, think of this. Remember the Vegas Golden Knights made a little trade at the trade deadline for a certain goalie?
Yeah.
Who's won a couple of cups?
Yeah.
And has only played two games?
Yeah.
Not even in the playoffs in the regular season. He played two games.
Yep.
A two-time Stanley Cup champion, Jonathan Quick. The Vegas Golden Knights have him on their roster.
And he
has not played.
Zero ice time. I believe you even brought that up when Hill came in the second round. You're like, I can't believe
I did.
They skipped up. They skipped Quick. So
I was so wrong about that. Yeah. I will eat those words because you know what? Aiden Hill is killing it.
Yeah, man.
And he's younger. So, you know, he's got better groins and adductor muscles. Quick will probably do a split save and tear a quad or something like that.
So I've got the betting lines again running at the bottom. Vegas -125, Florida +105. Joe, how do you think this goes? Like, because both teams are running hot.
I mean, I've been wrong. I don't think I've gotten one. I've gotten a couple of picks correct, but I don't think I've gotten one series total correct. So I mean, don't listen to anything I'm about to say, truly. But the odds are really close because – really, I feel like these betting lines are made just because there has to be essentially a favorite and an underdog, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But truly, these are pretty evenly matched.
Mm-hmm.
Like we've gone through the stats, we've talked about it all. These are two evenly matched squads. So it's going to go either way. Real low scoring games. Or it's going to be boom, 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 a lot of goals scored, I feel. I don't know that there's going to be a whole lot of middle ground with this because both teams are so hot right now, as we've talked about. And both of their goaltenders are hot too. So, you know, sometimes we have that where, one goalie is kind of on a hot streak. Maybe the other goalie kind of did okay, but just kind of sneaked in, maybe stole a couple games for their team to move on. In both cases, walked through.
Yeah,
a lot of hard work. Don't get me wrong, but there wasn't any really like a stuttering on their game. You know, so they're both so hot right now. So, I mean, I'm pulling for the Panthers. Like I said, I'm kind of on the bandwagon at this point. I would love to see them hoist the cup. To that point, man, it really kind of makes me sad for Jumbo that he's not on the squad anymore. He missed out by 1 year. I'm kind of sad for him. But in that case, so I'm picking Florida, and I'm going to say six.
Okay. It's hard to pick. I picked against them last round, and look how that turned out for me.
Yeah.
I
haven't been correct, so like whatever. we'd have to go back and see, but I'm pretty sure I'm like 1-4 or 1-6 or something like that.
You and Corey both picked Florida, but I think you guys had it in 7.
Yeah.
I picked Carolina in 6. So I looked the fool. It's hard to bet against it's hard to pick against Florida for what they've gone through. But like you said, I've been undercutting Vegas. The only reason I
picked, so have I, yeah.
the only reason I picked them in the second round against Edmonton was because it was Edmonton.
Yep.
And so, like, I thought that the Stars were going to be their first real test, and they kind of weren't. So
not at all, really. Again, and to that same point, like, I'm literally still not picking Vegas.
Yeah.
This whole entire time, I haven't bought into Vegas.
Yeah.
And here we are in the Stanley Cup Finals, and I'm still not picking them. When I said earlier in the show when we first started, like, maybe it's because they're just that damn good. Yeah.
They're just quietly over there doing their thing and winning. And, you know, whereas, you know, Florida just has a better story behind them.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
So, like, I think I'm leaning with my heart Florida in seven. But I gotta be honest, like, and again, if you would have said this at the beginning of the year, Justin, you'd be happy to see Vegas versus Florida and be cool either way, I would have called you nuts, because I hated Vegas. And
you crazy.
But, like, nah, dude, like, I'm actually pumped. And I honestly, we're getting a new cup champion either way, and I hope it does well. And that's, and that, in all honesty, I hope that's why it goes to seven. Just more hockey for me to watch, more hockey sure, yeah. for people to hopefully catch on to, because, you know what, these a sweep and a 4-2 where, you know, they weren't really close. I did say that they were going to perform for you. They were going to put on a show, and they did.
Yeah.
Both series were shows, not the way I thought they were going to be, but they were both, all four teams put on some sort of show for you.
For sure. Yeah.
And this cup promises to be no different.
I agree. Yeah.
If Florida wins, I don't see them, like, stomping Vegas. I don't think that's happening.
I don't think that's, not that it's not possible, of course, right. But I don't see that happening either. Did I miss it? Did you pick with Florida?
Florida in seven.
Okay. Yeah. I thought that's what you said, but I just wanted to make sure. so we're all picking Florida, because Corey said Florida in six, right?
Did he?
I think he said Panthers in six. Pretty sure he said that.
Okay.
So we're all picking Florida. Again, just going back to it, and I've made mention of it, and I'm mentioning it again. I mentioned how maybe just that Vegas is that damn good, and we've been overlooking them because they haven't been tested, because they're probably just that damn good.
Yeah.
And again, I'm still not picking them. So if they end up winning, I will gladly eat my words. Like, yeah, I didn't pick them the whole entire time, but yet here we are. Right.
Yep.
I didn't touch on it at the beginning there when we were talking about stats, but in the playoffs, of course, Vegas is the number one seed. They won the Pacific. Carolina is the wild card two seed. So basically the eight seed. Out of the East. So one versus two, and I'd have to look at the actual points, but Colorado might have had one more point than Vegas, so they might not be a true one seed. But Vegas is 12-5 in the overall playoffs. Panthers are 12-4. So one less loss by the Florida Panthers, if that means anything. but yeah, man, I think I honestly feel that watching this cup when it's the deciding game and whoever wins the game. And I do hope it's in an exciting fashion. I don't necessarily want that elimination game to be, well, like how Vegas destroyed Dallas 6-0. I don't want to see that. I would love to see a very tight elimination game, the last game, real tight, and have some drama to it at the end, because that just makes the winning of the cup so much better. If you look back at any of those videos that have been coming out around this time all the time of the last cup champions over the last 10 years, you know, 15 years or whatever, there's generally, for the most part, exciting last few seconds, last few minutes of those deciding games. And those are where those memories are born. Right. And as a fan, I love watching that because it always gives me the chills. Right. So I hope in this series is the same. And I will say, I will probably, no matter who wins, probably cry a little bit out of joy, because I love this game so much. And I love, especially like you said, a new champion for the first time ever. And if it is the Panthers, because they're such an undercat and I'm such an undercat story lover, like, I will probably bawl seeing them hoist the cup. I'm not afraid to say that. I just love that. And I love sports the way they do that. Fun fact.
Yeah.
I will be in Florida next Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Ooh.
And I looked at tickets, Justin.
Yeah.
I'll be about 2.5 hours away from Sunrise FLA Live, but I looked at tickets because, hey, I'm going to be down there. It'll be game three and game four, right? You want to know how much tickets are?
Super affordable, I'm sure.
Stanley Cup final. For way at the, like, we were way at the top and we just went and saw Blink 182, right? Uh-huh. So way at the top in FLA Live. How much do you think one single ticket is for the Golden Knights versus Florida Panthers in game three and game four of the Stanley Cup finals of 2023?
So let's just do it was 200 for playoff tickets in the second round in Jersey, right? Mm-hmm. So it's got to be more than that because it's Stanley Cup, right? So let's go 300.
You're way low.
Oh, no.
For one single ticket to game three or game four of the Stanley Cup Finals at FLA Live Arena is $598.
God damn.
God. I was like,
sorry, I love hockey, but not that much.
Like, I would love to go to the Stanley Cup final because I have not been. I would love to attend. I love you, Florida, but you're not actually my team. And I'm not going to drop $600.
Wow.
Because I'm not even in Sunrise like this time anyway. So I'd have to travel to Sunrise. I'd have to stay somewhere.
Mm.
Like, I'm looking at $1,000 for one day.
Yuck.
I don't have that type of money. I would love to be in that position to do that. But so I'll be missing that, but I will be watching on the television. So yes. Maybe I'll find a bar to go see if they're watching it and hang out with them like that. So, so that is the Stanley Cup Finals predictions. Justin, I heard that, I heard some things.
Yeah.
And I heard that some teams have some new faces in charge.
Oh.
So I'm curious, Justin, who's in charge here? Who's running the show?
So let's get to Nashville, right?
This is top tier.
My man, Andrew Burnett. You hate to see him go, but like there was basically zero chance he's staying, right? Like with all the coach openings, you know, there was chatter about Lindy not getting, you know, another year and we were going to promote Burnett. And, you know, I was like, I was kind of hoping that he would hang around until Lindy was done, but Lindy earned another year, you know, no qualms here. But that means we're going to lose a top assistant and, kind of fired up to see him go to Nashville.
Right.
If anywhere, I'm actually I think that offense is already kind of built in a way that he coaches anyway, like,
for sure.
Like a nice young, fast club. So hate to see him go, but glad to see him go to the Preds.
For sure. Mustard Cats got a huge top tier win with hiring Andrew Burnett. And of course, for anybody that doesn't know, Andrew Burnett was the Devils assistant coach over this last year. So new head coach for the Mustard Cats, Andrew Burnett. And let's not forget, Andrew Burnett did bring the Florida Panthers their President's Trophy last year by being the head coach when he stepped in as interim head coach when Joel Quenneville left because of the whole Chicago Blackhawks scandal.
Yeah.
So let's not forget that he has a pedigree of being a great coach. He can turn a team around and make them a President's Trophy team. So I think this is great for the Mustard Cats. Like you said, they have a pretty young team and some veteran players hanging around there. Duchesne, Johansson, Saros, even, you know.
Yeah.
Yossi. So yeah, I'm looking forward to this. And I mean, obviously we're huge Mustard Cat fans now since seeing them, play. I know Tim McGraw is lacing up his, I guess they're not lace up boots, they're slip on boots, but anyway, they're getting ready to, like it, love it, and want some more of it, of Andrew Burnett. So I'm looking forward to what he'll do for the Mustard Cats. This is a great hire though. But, and to your point, now the Devils have an assistant coach opening. There's still a lot of good coaches out there to fill into that spot. So that is
the one thing that I don't know if that was just a mix of his coaching or our, you know, who we had, but the power play was lacking, especially in the playoffs. So like,
right,
you know, he can go put in his own thing in Nashville where we need somebody to kind of liven up our power play. So we'll see what happens. This isn't about the Devs. This is about the Mustard Cats. So yeah. I don't want to get too far into that.
And with this hire too, so Barry Trotz is about to take over as the general manager of the Mustard Cats.
Mm-hmm.
And Barry Trotz, of course, won the Stanley Cup with the Washington Capitals. So he has a pedigree of knowing how to win as a general manager. And Andrew Brunet, you know, I didn't happen to look at the stats, but I feel like Andrew Brunet was on a cup winning team as well. I feel like he was on the Canes cup winning team back in 2006.
I think you're right. Yeah.
I might be wrong, but I feel like he was on that cup winning team. So, I mean, let's just say that that's correct. Cause I feel like it is, but he knows how to win. Again, even if he didn't win the cup with the Canes back in 2006 as a player, he brought a Florida Panthers team last year from middle of the road to the best team in the league.
Yeah.
So, and if you remember, if everybody remembers last year, they scored a shit ton of goals last year. Florida was unstoppable. Like they could be down. Speaking of, we made a mention to Edmonton earlier this episode. That Florida team last year could be down by four, and all of a sudden, 3 minutes later, they're up by three. So he has the ability to turn things around. We've spent a lot of time on the Mustard Cats, but
well, and I just want one more thing to be said about them. They were in it until like the last day.
They were. Yeah. They really were. They were sellers at the deadline too. They got rid of a lot of pieces, and yet, yeah, they were only a couple points out of a playoff spot. So that, I mean, says something to the teams that were, or excuse me, the players that were still standing, if you will, on that team. I'm looking at it right now, actually. So they ended up being fifth in the Central with 92 points, the Mustard Cats, of course. So they missed out on a playoff spot by literally 3 points. Winnipeg had 95, Mustard Cats had 92. So literally one win and a tie.
Yeah.
One win and an OT, and they would have taken that, or they would have tied that spot. Two wins and they would have taken it.
And there you go. Just like that.
So, yeah. And actually, so just seeing this too, Vegas is a true number one seed. They had 111 points. Colorado had 109 points. So Vegas is the true number one seed in the West, by the way.
By the way. And also, by the way, we spent a lot of time on my team so far on this show because they were still alive recently.
Yeah.
Let's dive in, Joe. This is your team. How do you like the hire? Spencer Carberry, he's in.
Okay, so I know whatever it was yesterday or the day before, I was chirping it and I was really like negative about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, and I'll say this, it's going to sound very negative, but so this guy essentially is a perennial ECHL, AHL player that never was on a team that won anything in his professional minor league career. Okay. Mm-hmm. He's coached in both the third tier and second tier ECHL and AHL as a head coach and as an assistant, hasn't won anything. He won coach of the year or something, but he's never won a ship in either as a coach. Okay. And then he's been Toronto's general manager assistant coach for the Maple Leafs for the last couple of years. Again, hasn't won anything. He sure does know how to choke is something that I said.
Yeah.
So I said, oh, fit right in perfectly because Washington knows how to choke. So those are my initial things that I said, and that is very negative. And I've had some time to reflect on it. And I'm coming back with this. I do actually like this hire because something – I would be a hypocrite if I didn't mention this, which is what we've talked about before, is the old boys club. The same coaches that go – from team to team and just get recycled over and over. Oh, now somebody else is going to get Peter Laviolette, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Oh, somebody else is going to get Gerard Gallant now. Somebody else hired Booth Boudreau out of retirement. Oh my God. It's the same old boys club that we've talked about. Maybe not necessarily on this show, but in the past, we've talked about it, even in the group text or whatever. So this is actually, I do like this hire because it is a new blood, a young guy getting a head coaching opportunity for a team that honestly desperately needs some type of change.
Mm-hmm.
The Caps are have been first round exits for 4 years straight before not even making the playoffs this year. Something needs to change. There is a lot of young guys in this system and on this team. Essentially, this has been an AHL-iced team for the last, well, since 2020, really, when the COVID year happened and the, what was it called? Taxi squad was a thing in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
That same like taxi squad has essentially been what the Capitals have iced for the last three seasons because of injuries and whatever else, right? Trades, they traded some guys away, stuff like that. So I think this will be a good hire. Allegedly, he's a player's coach, so we'll see how that plays out. I think that may or may not, probably leaning more on the side of it will be a good thing for all those young players because they're not too far off in age, so they can relate a little bit better, hopefully. Rumor has it, since we're in the rumor section, Peter Laviolette didn't really care much for the younger guys. He was more so always reliant on the veterans, which, yeah, you should be, but allegedly he didn't really give younger guys a chance so much. And I probably like 70-30 on the 30% I believe that side, because obviously, as I just said, in the Capitals over the last 3 years, which Laviolette has coached, or excuse me, last 2 years he's coached, you know, he only had young guys to use. So take that with a grain of salt, right?
Mm-hmm.
But overall, I will say again, kind of eating my words. At least I didn't say it on the podcast when I was so negative. I did mention it, obviously, just, you know, 2 minutes ago. But I do like this hire, and I'm optimistic to see how he does with it. And again, in the grand scheme of things, same thing with Andy Brunette getting hired as the Mustard Cats coach. New blood, getting rid of the old boys club, because, again, we see the same coaches over and over and over again. Like, get out of here. Retire. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because we really, really, if we touch on that real quick, okay. So a guy like Peter Laviolette, great coach. Yeah. He has a history of winning. He's won 2 Stanley Cups. Okay. So in all of those seasons, if you're so great, how come you don't win a cup everywhere you go?
Mm.
Same thing with Gerard Gallant. I believe he won with the Canadiens as a player, probably. I'm not sure that, to be 100%. If somebody's listening and they know, you can chirp me about it at Barn Chirpers Pod. But the point is, like, again, if you're such a great coach, then how come when you go somewhere you don't win? And you're given multiple years to do it and you still don't win. So get out of here. Like, you're no good, right? I mean, what is the point of having this coach that's been around the league forever if you don't win, right?
Yeah.
If you don't win, then what does it matter? You're just a good coach? Okay. Get the fuck out of here. That's my thoughts.
I think as a player, he may have won a cup. Let's see. I'm
stats
looking
stats and stuff. I know I've gotten better at having stats ready, but then I just think of these random things while we're doing the show. You know what I mean?
Well, we can look at, so coached for Columbus Blue Jackets, they haven't won one. Florida Panthers, they haven't won one. Vegas Golden Knights, they haven't won one. And the New York Rangers, they haven't won one since 1994. So there you go.
There you go. Hasn't done anything.
There we go.
Didn't do anything.
Yep. Hasn't won a cup as a coach. And he will most likely be a coach next year somewhere.
Most likely, yeah. Same thing with like Daryl Sutter. You know, if he doesn't retire, I mean, yeah, he won with the Kings, but nothing since then. So, you know, why is he still coaching? Stuff like that. So, to put a button on the Capitals, I'm optimistic to see what he brings to the table. I mean, it literally can't get any worse, legitimately. Like, this, since winning the cup in 2018, they have been the worst team to watch since then, because they've been first round exited and then they didn't even make the playoffs this year. So, like, that's fucking embarrassing.
I've tried to watch some Caps games, you know, because Hulu and all that. And every time I turn one on, I'm like, ah, I'll pass. And then when we went to Nashville, they were playing the Stadium Series, and we popped that game on, and I literally passed out because they were getting.
So did I. Embarrassing. It's just been so embarrassing, dude. So like, I'm very optimistic of what Spencer Carberry brings to the table. So I'm here for it. Like, again, it can't get any worse. So it can only get better.
Ooh, rumor has it.
Rumor has it. Rumor has it. So I already touched on it. The rumor that is running around is that the Rags are going to hire Peter Laviolette.
Justin. So not without a job for too long, eh?
Not without a job for too long. And I mean, again, is it really going to matter for the Rags? Are they going to be able to seal the deal? I don't know. Maybe. Patty Kane just had some hip resurfacing surgery, and he's going to miss 3 to 4 months.
Oh, you hate to hear it. Look,
I mean, he may not even be a Rag when the season starts, but yeah. You know, I mean, okay, Peter Laviolette, you're going to go from one team that constantly blew it while you were the coach to another team that knows how to blow it. So
yep.
Good for you.
Good for you.
Good for you. Rangers fans are getting real heated right now, and I understand. Sure. But you can chirp us at Barn Chirpers Pod. Give us all the chirps. We'll love to read them.
That's right.
go ahead.
Justin. I was gonna say, what about Patty Waugh?
I would love to see this because he's been again, should have had some stats ready, but these rumors just happened, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, but I feel like Patrick Waugh was a GM for a short amount of time, or at least president of hockey operations. Maybe while I stall and talk, you can check that out, Justin. But I feel like Patty Waugh was the GOAT. Well, second GOAT. 1A GOAT.
Right.
To your boy Marty. But I feel like he was in charge of something pretty high up for a short amount of time. But even if he wasn't, I would love to see this happen in Columbus because – I mean, why not give a guy that is a Hall of Famer, a proven winner, go to a squad that, again, as I just talked about with the Capitals, it can't get any worse than what Columbus just had ever since their existence, basically. I mean, they had that one year where they ousted Tampa Bay, but other than that, they've been forgettable at best. So to see a guy like Patrick Waugh come in. I mean, maybe he's a terrible coach.
Maybe
he is, but maybe he has some type of insight that just propels this team to be worth watching even. You know what I mean? That would be something.
So on May 23rd, 2013, Waugh was named head coach and vice president of hockey operations of the Colorado Avalanche.
Okay, right. That makes sense. Yep. Okay, that makes sense.
He also coached in for the Quebec Remparts in 2009.
Is that the WHL?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So yeah, I mean, I think, again, I don't know who the coach of Columbus is right now. He's a younger guy.
Yeah,
I believe. But he's not working, right? So I would love to see this again. New faces, right? And while Patrick Waugh, of course, is further up there in age, probably late 40s, early 50s, I imagine, but he's never had a head coaching job in the NHL. So that makes him a new coach, and he's not part of the old boys club. So I'm here for it. As we had mentioned previously, I'm here for it, Justin. I'm here for it.
So I looked up Columbus Blue Jackets head coach as of April 15th, Columbus Blue Jackets relieved Brad Larson of his duties as head coach.
Oh, they did relieve him.
Yeah, club also.
Oh, okay.
They will not renew the contract of goaltending coach Manny Legacy.
Oh, okay. All right.
So
it's very possible.
Yeah.
It's very possible.
And when I looked up Patrick Waugh, one of the first articles it listed was that he'd be perfect for the Rags.
Hmm.
I don't know why that is a thing, but whatever.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't want to see anything good happen to the Rags. Sorry, Rags fans.
Yeah, I don't really want to see anything good happen to them either. Honestly, like, I don't care. Another rumor that is late breaking that we didn't get to put in the slideshow there. Kyle Dubas hired as the Pittsburgh Penguins president of hockey operations, Justin.
Very interesting. With y'all's hire and with this, like, it's very interesting to see if Toronto, like, if it was them, you know, or because Toronto hasn't been able to do it, you know what I mean? They clearly put together a team, so
I mean, go ahead, finish your thought. Yeah,
that's really all I was getting at, is that he clearly put together a team there. I don't know how hands-on. I'm pretty sure Shanny's really hands-on there, but I don't know, man. Like, it seems weird for, you know, they get out of the first round finally, but they've consistently choked in that first round forever. And then they get absolutely worked by Florida, and then two guys still get jobs, you know, a week later. So, I mean, you know, maybe I'm reading too far into that.
No, I don't think so. I mean, so also, because these tie into each other, Brad Treveling, I don't know how to say his name. Sorry, bud. But he was hired as the new Maple Leafs GM. And I want to, trying to find this quote, but essentially they obviously asked him about if, something about the core four, right? So Marner, Matthews, Nylander, and Tavares, right? They asked him about that, and he did say that what's more important is the Toronto Maple Leafs, not just the core four. So, I mean, to jump back to Dubas, that dude did everything to get this team to win.
Yeah.
He wasn't out there playing, but he did every single thing to put the pieces in place for this team to win, and they blew it every single time. So that's not on him.
Yeah.
And while initially I was like, how do you not renew this guy's contract and get rid of, let him get rid of some pieces and figure it out? But honestly, if I was Kyle Dubas, I wouldn't want to be extended in Toronto anyway, because it's like, I've literally given you guys everything for 7 years and you still couldn't get it done. You bunch of losers, right?
Yeah.
So even if they, so I guess here's the thing too, we're going to tie this all, I'm going to tie this all in. If this new GM does get rid of one, two, or all of the core four, I mean, okay. So then you guys are changing something. But if they literally just replace the GM and all those players stay and nothing else changes, what do you, again, insanity here, the definition of insanity. Look up the definition of insanity in the dictionary. It'll say Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah.
Is what it'll say. So it'll be interesting to see what actually happens there. And to tie it back to Dubas, while he's not the GM of the Pens, he's president of hockey operations, I still feel like that's a position where you're going to be having a lot of influence and a lot of pull in the organization. And as much as this pains me to say it, as much as it does, because obviously I'm a Caps fan.
We all hate
But shout out to Tina, if you're listening. Maybe you are, maybe you aren't. Love you so much. Obviously, they are a Pens fan, so I hate the Pens so much, but I love you. But the point is, I totally feel, I will put a stamp on this, the Pens will not miss the playoffs next year. They will not. And whether Dubas has little or everything to do with that, I will bet you they will not miss the playoffs next year. They will probably win or top three in the Metro.
No.
I'm just saying, because he knows how to make the moves. He knows how to work the money and make the moves with the right players. Like, I mean, Sid the kid still has a lot to play with. I feel, even though it pains me to say all this, Malkin had a great season last year. Letang got re-signed. I mean, you got the kid Raquel. Jari's a pretty solid goaltender. So, like, they have the pieces. And I feel like a guy like Dubas, who is a proven track record in Toronto to bring in the right pieces and spend the money correctly. I mean, again, it pains me to say it, but I don't think the Pens are missing the playoffs next year.
Well,
they are going to be contenders again.
To tag on your point a little bit is, what, the day after the season, they missed the playoffs for the first time in what, 16 years, I think, was the stat?
16 years, yeah.
And they immediately were like, unacceptable, and got rid of everybody.
Yeah, and as they should have.
Yeah.
Like, and that's, you know, isn't that that's the other thing too, is with Dubas being part of the Pens organization now, this team and organization actually knows how to win, actually knows how to pull the trigger, end a series, end a game. They know how to win. They have the players and the pieces in charge. They know how to win. Whereas Toronto, as we know, well, what do we do? I don't know. So that's why I'm making essentially that prediction, if you will, that they're not going to miss the playoffs again. Because like you said, we've made it for 16 years. It's been up and down or whatever, but we've always made it. And this year, what the fuck happened? Okay, goodbye. You're not it anymore. Yeah. See ya. Because we're a winning squad.
Yep.
Unlike Toronto, like, oh, well, maybe we'll try again next year. It'll be okay. We'll get there. We'll get there. It's fine. So those are my thoughts with that. But yeah, man, we went a whole hour.
We did it.
Man, we had a lot. We had a lot to talk about. I think we did it, man. I think we did it. So, the next time we talk, should have a couple of games under the Stanley Cup belt there. And
God, I hope it's not over.
I mean, I don't think it'll be over. It shouldn't be over. So, not by next week. I don't think so.
I hope not.
It'll be fine. We did say that about Carolina and Florida. And it's fine. It's going to be fine. It's going to be great. If you're listening, you know, hit us up, Barn Chirpers Pod. You can follow us on all streaming platforms. You can find us, like, subscribe. I think you can comment on Spotify and stuff too, right? You can rate.
5 stars. Yeah, that would be
great. 5 stars would be great. Yeah, all that stuff. It'll help with the algorithm.
Easy for you to say.
Algorithms. Maddie Kaklutch. Jesus.
That's right.
if you guys could do all that, we would greatly appreciate it so we can rise up from the 250s in the hockey podcast in the world to at least top 100. That'd be great. So help us out with that. We would love that. Thanks y'all for listening and listening to us chirp at you. Hulkster, it's always a pleasure to chirp at you, my friend.
Yes, sir.
And I guess if nothing else, stick taps and sellies, boys. Clap it up.
End the broadcast.
End that.